Oh, we for real starting.
Oh, you wasn't even gonna tell me nothing, huh? You just gonna just go right after it, okay.
I'm not saying I'm gonna change the world. I do guarantee that I will spark a brain that will change the world. Welcome to the Movie Mail Show. Yo's a lot is officially in the building, baby. Welcome to the Mookie Mel Show, y'all. Thank you for coming. I appreciate y'all time. I have a great episode lined up for y'all, but I have my dearest friend AJ Zuta with me today. What's up, big fella?
Hey, what up, Mook? What up, people? Happy to be here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Today is a big day. Where are we at now? Episode 7 or something? It's just been flying. Again, anyone new, any new audience members, welcome. My returning audience members, thank you again. And we're gonna just dive right into it, y'all. Today's topic is mental toughness. It's a doozy. You know, it's a topic that's sometimes given too much attention, sometimes not enough, but we're going to discuss it today. I just want to hit a few points and then I'm going to introduce Zoo. But we all have a want or thought of mental toughness. At one point or another in our respective lives, we want to feel that we are mentally tough and that we can overcome any situation or instance or event we may be in. And I just want to kind of key on some of those points of overcoming and what is really determined as, you know, mental toughness, whether it be our relationship status, job status, financial dependency or independency, you know, what accumulates or allows someone to describe themselves as mentally tough. And what do we break that down as a society? And, you know, I just had a few questions in terms of that. Like, what is universally understood to be mentally tough? Is being mentally tough being able to have your emotions in check? Or is that considered something else? Is, you know, fulfilling your responsibilities? Is that maturity or mental toughness? But I digress. As I stated earlier, it's an honor to have my buddy Zoo on the show. You know, this is one of my dearest best friends. This man is a beast in all senses of the word. I'm very excited for some of the insight and just some of the rhetoric he will bring to our conversation today. Zoo, you know, I know a lot about you, but go on and tell the people about you, big fella.
Oh, man. How long of an introduction do we want here? We want to keep it short?
Shoot, say whatever you got to say, man.
Okay. Come from a big family, first generation African-American, the youngest of five boys. Both my parents were from Ghana, grew up in New Jersey. Just, you know, a young black man trying to make it, just hungry for success and just happy to be here with my boy.
Digs. I could dig on that. Man, so, you know, a little bit more about you. Where'd you go to college, Zoo?
I went to Dartmouth College up in New Hampshire, Ivy League student, which may be overrated, underrated. I know you did a show earlier this year on, you know, the importance of college. Mm-hmm. You know, I have my own opinions about that, but we could talk about that another day, too.
Digs. So we got an Ivy League man here, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, obviously he may know a thing or two about mental toughness. But in terms of your athletic background, tell the folks a little bit about that, too.
Well, I think for my athletic background, it makes sense to know where I'm coming from. Sports is big in my family. Two of my brothers were big time All-American football players. One went to Michigan and then transferred over to Stanford. Another played at Rutgers, played in the NFL for what was 9 years, just came to an end this year. And me, just very, very hungry, trying to follow in their footsteps. You all right over there, Mook?
Yeah. I had to scratch my nose.
Okay. But yeah, trying to follow in their footsteps, you know, really doing whatever it took. I think early on, I didn't have the same type of potential that my brothers did. You know, I obviously wasn't as tall, wasn't as big, as fast, as strong. And I think somewhere along the way, you know, I started to realize that God didn't give me all the tools necessary for, you know, me to really get there without having to put in extra work and extra time. And so there's kind of a switch that flipped somewhere in my junior, senior year of high school. I mean, I really kicked it up a few extra notches and tried to do whatever it took. And, you know, after that, I mean, I obviously didn't get everything I wanted. I wanted to go to Stanford coming out of high school. We all know how hard it is to get into that school, how hard it is to get a scholarship. I think Ivy League is probably the next best step down. I mean, football may be a big difference, but in terms of academics, that's as best as you can be. So went to Dartmouth College, had a ex-teammate from high school already on the team. So I felt comfortable being there. My coach, my brother actually played for him back at Stanford. And so I felt comfortable being up in even though it was in New Hampshire, being right there with my teammates and just felt, you know, really at home. From day one, I just wanted to come in, outwork the guys next to me, outwork everybody, be all American, all Ivy, all everything from day one. It really didn't work out for me like that. Freshman year was a bit of a struggle. I mean, at the beginning it was all cool. I didn't start right away like I wanted to, even though I knew I was better than the dude that they put me behind. School was a struggle. I'll tell you that right off the bat. It was a huge adjustment. And I was, you know, going in every day after practice, trying to do extra reps, trying to do, you know, whatever it took for me to get better and get that starting spot and make all my dreams come true. And in the meantime, I had my first exam in sociology, and I failed it pretty bad too. I think I got like a 40, 45, something like that. And you know, I realized that I had to figure out some way to be able to balance that out. Even though I wanted so bad to make it to the league and to put all that extra work in, I had to figure out a way to put extra work in the classroom too, really balance that out. You know, I found a good balance. I think over the years I definitely grew, went from just being a big kid to being big and strong and fast and knowing where I was supposed to be at all times and, you know, just being smart, a student of the game, figuring it out, and ended up being a 2-time Ivy League all-player, was a preseason All-American, All New England twice, and in my opinion, should have been Defensive Player of the Year, or at least my teammate, Will McNamara. I'll give him a little shout-out. Love you, Willie, but didn't end up that way, but definitely was one of the, in my opinion, one of the best defenses as a team, and then, in my opinion, one of the best defensive players in Dartmouth football history, so.
Yeah. Well, as y'all heard in Zoo's little intro right there, he's had his fair share of adversity, clearly a phenomenal athlete, clearly an excellent scholar, attending an Ivy League school, and you know, clearly he stated he was a student of the game, so he's really trying to develop his life in all assets. I just want to attest too to Zoo's change. I met this man when he was like, shoot, 360. What were you doing?
Come on, bro. Come on, Mookie. Was like
365.
Now, those of you who know Mookie Mel, you know he has a tendency to exaggerate things, maybe even lie a little bit. We all know that. I wasn't 360. I was a big guy. I was probably, no lie, 5'11 and a half, 317 pounds.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I got weighed in. You weren't there. You could pretend like you were. You weren't there. You could tell whoever you want.
Oh, man. Well, anyways, regardless, I've seen the changes through his body when he mentioned this switch clicked in high school, and I literally could see the change in his physique, and it was phenomenal. He started eating different. He started working out in the morning, and I could just sense there was this edge to him. And I always try to pick Zoo's brain just to see what he's doing different because, you know, a lot of the times either we feel something should be given to us or that we deserve it and don't get it. But this man was working every day and I always commend him for that. But let's jump into it. Y'all got a little background on Zoo. You know your boy Mookie Mel. So let's jump right into S1 and social. So social, Zoo. We're going to keep running with this mental toughness and kind of dig into the social aspect. Zoo, just a couple of questions I want to ask you. What would be your personal definition of mental toughness?
So this is real tough. This is real hard. The reason being is that it changes really from situation to situation. But in a broad sense, especially when you're talking about kind of chasing your goals, trying to make things happen for yourself, I think being mentally tough means that you're not letting things get you down or letting things discourage you from achieving your goals. But also, when you actually want something, that means putting that one thing above all else, you know, in a reasonable sense. So if I say, hey, you know, I wanted to make it to the NFL, but I get up in the morning and I say, you know what, I'm too tired, I'm gonna go back to sleep, I'm not gonna get up and go work out, or, you know what, I really feel like having some pizza today or a cheeseburger, whatever it is, like knowing that that's not the thing that's gonna help me get to where I wanna be, then you're not being mentally tough. And there's a lot of coaches that'll talk about it, and I don't even think they know what the definition of it is, because it's so hard to kind of put a finger on it. But you know, being able to put what you want above other things, I think that's what really demonstrates that you want to achieve your goals and that you're actually mentally tough.
Yeah. No, I hear you. So even not necessarily from an athlete standpoint, but even an everyday person, you know, as Mookie Mel, the person, you know, you're saying just coming and bringing it every day despite adversity. If you have a goal, you got to reach for it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, it could go from academics, athletics, to, you know, even just making sure that you follow through on your relationships, making sure that you're doing what you're supposed to do with when it comes to your friends, comes to your loved ones. If you're not, you know, putting in that effort to make sure that one goal is above all else, then you're not being mentally tough. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. And that's where people a lot of the times really go wrong.
I dig that. You kind of alluded to this earlier in some of your intro, but when and where were you when you discovered or determined that, you know, being mentally tough is a needed characteristic for you to be successful?
When and where is really tough to place a finger on it. I know for sure it really started when I went to my gym where I started working out, where I've been working out the past, I think, 7 years or so now. It's called Test Sports Club. And I've been lucky to have, you know, my brother in my life who has been to the NFL, who knows what it takes to make it there, and who has been, you know, loving and supportive of me, especially enough to send me to a gym and to pay for me to go to this gym and surround me with people who want, you know, more for themselves, who are working hard enough to bring that, make that come to fruition. And to see these NFL players, former NFL players, future NFL players around me who are going in every day, working hard, you know, not just going out every day and partying, or, you know, they're getting up early, going into the gym, and to see them come in and work hard and compete with each other every day, I think that's kind of what did it for me. Yeah. To just be surrounded by that and to be able to see that, see what that's like, and to understand, you know, how to get there. That's really what flipped the switch for me. And that, you know, I've always wanted it, but I never really understood what it meant to really chase that. And so being able to see that in other people around me, I think is what did it and what helped me, you know, understand how to get there.
No, that's life's best teacher experience. So that makes sense, and that's dope. Zoo, what would you say, or how do you continue to challenge and develop your mindset currently? You know, I know that you're done playing, so how do you continue to challenge and make sure you're growing mentally and continue to have this edge of mental toughness now that you're no longer playing football?
For me, well, I'm very competitive. I let my athlete spirit basically bleed over into anything and everything that I'm doing. I never want, you know, somebody else to come ahead of me or beat me in something, especially if it's something that I really care about. You know, I mean, it could be something as simple as just like playing video games or just playing pickup basketball. Like, I don't want to go out there and lose. Like, I don't play to lose, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's the same thing. It bleeds over to athletics and both to academics, where, you know, if I didn't do as well on a test as somebody else, like, I want to go in, I'm going to come in and do extra. And it's going to be the same way when I go to work. I'm going into basically sales, where it's very easy to track how you're doing versus how other people are doing. It's very easy to see, you know, where you're headed, what it takes to make it to the next step up, how to get that promotion. For me, it's really all about being competitive and not just competing with other people around me, but competing with myself. I always want to feel like I'm getting better every day and continuing to challenge myself. But also, I've just been lucky to also have my brother Jeff and my brother Jeremy, but especially Jeff helped me through this process and kind of give me the necessary understanding that I need moving forward. You know, it's not all about what direction you're moving in, because most of us don't know where we're going.
Right.
A lot of times people don't know what they really want in life. I definitely don't know. Mookie, I'm sure you don't know.
Speak for yourself, brother.
Nah, I know you well enough, bro. You don't know what you want. but people rarely know what they want to do in the next 10 years, let alone the next, you know, however long, 2030.
Right.
And, you know, it's all about equipping yourself with the tools necessary for you to get there once you figure it out. You know, a lot of times people focus too much on taking steps forward. But if you're moving in the wrong direction, then, you know, what have you really gained at the end of the day? So if you're giving yourself the tools, you know, you may not step in the right direction every time, but if you're giving yourself the tools necessary to move, you know, freely, go back to where you're supposed to be. Once you figure that out, then it's all good at the end of the day.
I like it, Zoo. I like it. Well, let's keep it pushing, folks, and jump right into S2 and Scholars. So, Zoo, obviously I attended prep school with you, and we attended some of the most prestigious prep schools in the country. With that being said, though, what were some of the biggest challenges for you as a scholar attending an Ivy League school?
Well, one of the things I kind of already touched on was just adjusting to kind of that time commitment, because college football is a huge step up from high school in terms of how much time you're giving. Especially for me, and I had a lot of injuries, nothing major, but a lot of little injuries along the way that really kept me in the training room all the time. And so, you know, you got morning lift, and then you go to class, you go eat lunch, go straight from lunch to go to the training room and rehab. And then you have, you know, get ready for practice. You got film, you go upstairs, you got team meetings, you go out to practice until, you know, by the time you're done with that, it's 7 o'clock, you get a shower in, get dinner. After that, it's 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and, you know, it's time to study and put in your couple hours of work before you have to go to sleep again. And, you know, I finally, this past year, got the chance to experience just being a full-time student. After the NFL didn't work out for me, I had a full year to go back and finish up, because I left early. And the time commitment, you don't realize how much it is after you get used to it, you know, the first year or so. It just becomes second nature to you to be able to kind of figure out what time of the day you have to study. And it kind of keeps you on track. And then once you don't have football anymore, you're kind of just like, well, what do I do? You know what I mean? Like, I have all this time in the middle of the day. I guess I might as well go study. Might as well, you know, put this work in. And it was actually also the first time that I ever was able to really enjoy a class. I was also able to actually buy the book for class and read it, which was crazy. it was new for me. You know, when I had football, I didn't have time for that. So I had to ask people, you know, what they got from it, or, you know, try to study with other people, because I just didn't have the time to really read and do everything that was actually assigned to me. So really the time commitment was really the hardest thing. And then one other thing that was just incredibly difficult was trying to figure out, you know, what I want to major in and what, you know, path I want to head towards. I came in wanting to do engineering and obviously wanting to play football. I had to leave in probably 3.5 years, and the full engineering program is a 5-year program. So trying to do the full 5 years in 4, and then also wanting to do a study abroad, that was something I knew I wanted to do while I was there. And looking at that schedule, like, I think the first week I had to quit doing engineering. it was over. Like, I couldn't even give it a shot. And I know dudes that did it on my team. And
well, let's run with that, Zoo. Also, in attending an Ivy League school, what did you learn from other individuals in terms of mental toughness? Maybe from those teammates who were engineers and played football for their career, or maybe some students or peers you had classes from. What would you say, you know, one of the biggest tips or tidbits would be, what you learned from one of your peers in terms of mental toughness while attending an Ivy League school?
I would say I learned a lot of different things from a lot of different people. And what's great about the Ivy League is you see such an array, such a spectrum of different people with different ambitions. If I were to just go to like a Rutgers, like my brother went to, or a big time football school like Ohio State or something like that, you get a lot of dudes that are all focused on the same thing. They all want to go to the NFL. They all want to come in and do extra work in football. And they all want, you know, they all think exactly the same. And when you go to the Ivy League, you have such a spectrum of people who have different ambitions. Some people come in, they want to be, you know, engineers and make the next app and be the next Steve Jobs. Or, you know, some of them wanted to go into accounting, or I don't know why they would want to do that, but some of them want to be teachers and professors. You know what I mean? Right. There's people who have different focuses and different aspirations in life, and to see how that manifests itself into, you know, the way that they approach the game is, you know, it's pretty enlightening. But a lot of times people, like I said, with that mentally tough thing, is they're putting those aspirations above all else. And at first it was a little weird for me because, you know, as a football player, I want everybody around me to be, you know, entirely focused on football and to be coming in and putting that first. And to come in and try to win and do extra things to make us better as a team. But then I realized, you know, some of these people know that they'll never play in the NFL. Some of them probably don't even want to. They know the type of commitment, the type of pain, the type of, you know, dedication that it, physical dedication that it takes to make it. And those are not what they want out of life. But to see that they will put academics first above football was tough for me to kind of cope with at first, but it makes sense. And I completely understand that and understand why they had to do that. Because, you know, as much as people want to have more hours in the day to just commit to academics, athletics, and their social life all at once, you don't really have that kind of time. And so you have to figure out, you know, what's most important to you and kind of go for that thing and focus on that thing.
I hear you, man. And that's powerful. Just the fact that you're able to recognize, you know, people's different perspectives from such a young age too, man. You know, as a college athlete, oftentimes we kind of get these blinders on that we're focused on right in front of us. And the fact that you're able to address, you know, other people's mental and approach to the game of football and why they're at Dartmouth is deep in itself. That really speaks to your character and maturity, man. But let's keep it pushing, ladies and gentlemen, and jump right into S3 Sports. Jumping right into our final topic of sports. I know, Zoo, you're going to have a great input coming as a former athlete, having some family members who have been professional athletes. So let's keep it rolling, y'all. Zoo, can you, you alluded to this earlier, but can you tell me a little bit about your perspective and approach towards your athletic career and in and out of your daily routine and your work ethic?
A lot of what I do is, or what I used to do anyway, some of which I still do, is very similar to, you know, things that you hear is very common among athletes. I mean, wake up early, eat right, go work out, go lift, and then come back and, you know, go to class, whatever, go and then go back and do it all over again. But putting in those extra hours is really what helps you get ahead of the competition. But what I figured out pretty quickly is that it's not just about, you know, how you can work harder. It's really about how you can work smarter. And so instead of just, you know, going in and putting in insane hours, not really knowing what you're focusing on, it always helps to kind of do your own research, look up things online, and really teach yourself you know, what it is that you need to learn in order to better yourself going forward. And if that means, you know, you're weak in the lower body, you know, you go and you do some research and figure out what's the best way to put some weight on, put on some muscle mass, like get my squat up so I can be more explosive on the football field instead of just going in and doing standard squats all day, every day. You're going to end up hurting yourself. It just makes sense to go in and do that research. And so really, that's one thing that a lot of guys neglect to do. And one thing that I found was very common in the Ivy League, a lot of the people I played with didn't put in the extra time. They kind of just really did whatever coach told them to. And if coach told them to go get an extra lift by themselves, they wouldn't really know what to do or where to start. And so being able to research that myself and figure out what the best way to get from point A to point B is, it makes it a lot easier. And that's been, so a lot of y'all who don't know me don't know that I, in the past year, have lost about 80 pounds. I went from being a 300-pound defensive tackle to being what most people think is a running back or linebacker, about two.
He looks like me, y'all. Looks like me, just a little shorter.
No, no. So remember when I was talking about him being a compulsive liar? Yeah, Mookie's about 195. What? How much you weigh? How much you weigh, Miles?
I'm probably like 6'3", 245. But that's besides the point.
6'3", 245. Huh? You a damn lie, boy.
Wait, Zoo. So what position did you play?
I played defensive tackle.
But so initially, weren't you on the other side of the ball?
So in high school, my main focus, especially early on in my career, probably freshman sophomore year, was playing offensive line. And that's just because I was really big and not so athletic. I haven't really put my, you know, athletic tools to good use. And just being 5'11", 317 pounds, I mean, it's you don't really have much athletic ability. And so it just made sense for me to play offensive line. But as I began to lose weight, be more athletic, and figure out, you know, how to be a better athlete, it made more sense for me to kind of switch over to the defensive side of the ball. And I think I'm a very instinctual player. And I think that is a position that, you know, those type of players really thrive. So I made that switch later on in my high school career, and really at the beginning of Dartmouth, I knew I wanted to play on the defensive side of the ball.
And what kind of came with some of the mental preparation and mental toughness you had to come with switching sides of the ball? You know, you're literally playing a different position. Your motives are different. So how'd you go from, you know, being new to this, to the D tackle position, to one of the best in the country?
Well, especially for me, I mean, it wasn't a terrible transition because I didn't start playing football until high school. So what little I had learned in that time, those first 2-3 years of high school playing offensive line, I mean, my brother definitely taught me a lot being an offensive lineman in the league for so long, but, being able to make the switch to defenses, I mean, it wasn't like I had been playing for 5, 6, 7, 8 years and then all of a sudden had to wipe the slate clean. It's like, I practiced a little bit of defense. I really, you know, didn't know all too much about offensive line. And so, making the switch, it was kind of just second nature. Just letting my instincts take control and, you know, take over from there.
Yeah. No, I dig it. I dig it, Zoo. Just my last question for you, but, you know, I know you had those goals of making it to the NFL and, you know, unfortunately, that didn't work out for one reason or another. But how has that played an effect on your mental, positively or negatively? And how have you used that to propel you to move forward to the individual you are today?
Well, it's definitely impacted me in a number of ways. And I think that has been the hardest transition for me, the hardest thing to deal with ever in my life, really. I've been lucky to never have to deal with any real family issues, any death in the family, anything like that a lot of other people have had to go through, and I'm very thankful for that. But this is something that it's different. You know, you put so much work and so much effort into building yourself up to be this person and achieve this one goal, and when it doesn't come true for you, it really hits hard. It really hurts, and especially because of the way it ended. So for those of you that don't know, I after finishing my Dartmouth career, I was, you know, one of the top 20 or so defensive tackles in the country. Was hoping to get drafted, was hoping to get a combine invite, ended up not getting either of those things, but got an invitation to go to Giants rookie camp, where essentially they brought me in the whole day. The first day is just a really long process. You do piss tests, they take your blood, you do medical history forms, blood pressure, all these things, height, weight. And then at the end of the day, they basically, you know, they're supposed to give you your forms and they send you over to the hotel and you get ready to practice the next day. And I remember I went through basically the whole process and thought I was finished. And they brought in a doctor and kind of, you know, tested my flexibility a little bit. And I had had problems with my back in college. And so I thought, you know, maybe they might have been concerned about that. And so they made me take x-rays on my hip. And at this point, you know, I wasn't really too worried. There was actually a long line, a lot of players, a lot of people they sent in to go do x-rays. But at the end of the day, they went and brought the doctor back for me and, you know, told them that they had some concerns about my hip. It looked like I had a torn labrum and actually had a hip impingement. And, you know, it didn't sound like it was something that was so bad because I hadn't really noticed it. I had some pain here and there, but to me, you know, it didn't seem like much. And they actually ended up sending me home and I didn't even really get my chance, get my shot. And so that was one of the things that was the toughest to deal with, because in my mind, you know, if they had given me the opportunity to go stand next to and play with these dudes that they thought were much better than me, it would have been, you know, a no-brainer that I would make the team, that I could, you know, essentially outshine enough people to at least make the roster. And when they didn't even give me that opportunity, that was the thing that was the hardest for me. I never imagined that football would come to an end in that way. And if, you know, if I go out there and I compete and they say I'm not good enough, and, you know, I feel that, you know, I gave it my all, I gave it everything I had, then, you know, I can take that and I can move on without really saying much. You know, I gave it everything I had. What's there to complain about? When you don't get that opportunity, it's just, it crushes you. And you feel like, you know, things are conspiring against you. You feel like you just needed that one opportunity to be able to make your dreams come true, and nobody's giving you the chance. And so that's definitely something that I had to make a huge transition with, to go from there and wait that whole summer for a phone call or anything, and just waiting and waiting and working hard and nothing's coming across. That was it was physically, emotionally, and mentally just draining. Most people will never really understand. Some people say, oh, it's just a game, you know what I mean? But regardless of what it is, when you put 10 years of your life towards one specific goal, and it basically turns out that those 10 years were almost wasted, it makes you feel awful. It makes you feel terrible. And it's really tough to recover from that. But when you take a step back and look at it, I look at all the things that football has given me, the opportunities that, you know, that I've had that wouldn't necessarily have come to me, having that connection, and just being able to get to where I am today, giving you physical and mental traits, being able to manage your time better, things like that, mental toughness, like I said, figuring out the best way to move forward and put that one goal above all else, and figuring out, honestly, how to work better on the team. Things like that are just things that I would have never had I not played football before. And, you know, obviously having that NFL pursuit and that ambition helped me move on, you know, in other ways. Like, once you take things and really can see the positive light about it, instead of focusing on the negative, that's how you really move forward. And, you know, I've been lucky to have great friends like Mookie Mel here, and great family to support me all throughout the way, the whole way there. You know, it's just being able to focus on the positive, and what you can take away from it, is definitely what helps you move on. And, you know, I moved on pretty hard, real quick, actually. Had to lose all that weight real quick, because I know if I was still 300 pounds, I would still be thinking about trying to play again. Being able to have that discipline also is what helped me lose weight. Just being able to focus on that positive is really what helped me.
Yeah. No, I dig it, bro. I dig it. That's incredible, man. Thank you for sharing with me and the people your story, man. As you all can't see Zoo, but as he stated it, this man does look like a model. He lost that weight very quickly.
it was phenomenal the way he did it. And just the mental of what he was able to bounce back from and the time he bounced back is phenomenal in itself. I just wanted to say thank you, Zoo, for sharing again, for giving everyone your time. You know, I'm over here at his house during the holidays, and this man is rescheduled with me a handful of times. He's been accommodating. He fed me, and you heard how big he was, y'all. Yes, he fed me. You know, but it's an honor to be able to call you one of my best friends, Zoo. You know, I learn from you every day, just from, you know, as our topic today, mental toughness. You know, there's no matter what, you know, your adversity in life may be, it's applicable to anything. And just the way you're able to bounce back from your football ups and downs and turn, you know, some of those negatives into a positive and look at the silver lining, it's phenomenal. I know everyone, whoever is listening to this today, you can apply this mental toughness to your life, whatever it may be. You may not be a large black man weighing 380 pounds, you know, but but you know, this can be applied to any middle school listeners doing their homework every night. This can be applied to our high school student athletes playing football. This man, you know, he has NFL blood in him. Listen, this can be applied to our adults, our young adults, you know, going to work every day, overcoming that adversity. This can be to our mid-aged people listening to this, you know, being able to not go through the motions every day and call it living life. Mental toughness is something I wanted to make sure I harped on. Zoo was the best person I could potentially even think of finding, so I'm very thankful for that. But Jigga Man,
yo,
JJ, go and hit the people with the factos, man.
All right, I'm on it. Yo, so let me just say this, all right? Look, I know Zoo personally, and this man's journey is, you know, nothing but incredible, and it's nothing that should be undersold. This dude, I mean, you know, the transformation he undertook, it was amazing. So I don't want to harp on that anymore. Y'all heard the episode. Y'all heard the man. Y'all know me a bit better now, so I don't feel like I have to limit myself. Look, I'm going to say what I say every week. Thank you for the love and support. We appreciate it all. Our big accomplishment recently was getting on the iTunes podcast store, and that was awesome. And you guys, you know, loved the post and all that, and we really appreciate it. We're going to be a lot more active over the holidays on the Facebook page, so please go on there and share it and like it. Keep coming back. We got a lot in the works. I promise you guys will not be disappointed. All right, I'm going to let you guys get on with it. Have a good week. Thank you for coming. See you next week. Healy out. Mookie Mel out.